I want to invite you to open your Bibles to Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter 27. It was back in June during our summer series. There was an opening and I spoke and got halfway through this lesson. And I said, one day I'm going to finish it. And Lord willing, today is that day. And now you're already concerned because I didn't finish it during Wednesday night. So how am I going to finish it all tonight? Well, hang on. Acts chapter 27, but I want to begin with something that happened in Acts chapter 25. The Jews were trying to get Festus to listen to their accusations against the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul could see what was going on and that they had nothing to that they could prove against him. But he knew that it just didn't look like it was going to go in his favor. And so as a Roman citizen, he had this right, and he says, I appeal to Caesar. In Acts 25 and verse 12, Festus, when he had conferred with the council, answered, you have appealed to Caesar you shall go. And Acts chapter 27 tells about his journey on a couple of different ships en route to Rome. Some call it his fourth missionary journey. But yet it is a journey that he made. He probably didn't anticipate initially going to Rome in this fashion. But Acts 27 tells the account. If you wanted to know what sailing or being a mariner was like in the first century, if you really could delve into this chapter and study about the things that were done, it would be, I think, a fascinating study. But I want to focus on the fact that as Paul was en route, the ship on which he was sailing went through a terrible, terrible storm. In fact, in Acts 27, verse 20, this is how bad it got. Now, when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and no small tempest beat on us, all hope that we would be saved was finally given up. And notice the we here. All hope that we would be saved was finally given up. And that included Paul and his companions on this journey. So apparently no one on that ship had any reason to believe at this point that they would survive this storm. I want us to make application about finding encouragement in the storms of life. You see, people go through severe storms in life, and often they, like the passengers on this ship, lose all hope. But the hope that Paul was able to receive and then to share with others is the same kind of hope and comfort and encouragement that we can receive during the storms we encounter, but also we're able to help others as they encounter storms. In this bleak picture, the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul brought a ray of light. Notice with me some of these statements. Acts 27, verse 22. Now I urge you, he says to his fellow passengers, to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. You see, Paul has received more information now by an angel of the Lord that has told him that no one would lose their lives if they stayed on board the ship. So now he in turn is encouraging, telling his fellow passengers to keep up their courage, to take heart, because no one would be lost, only the ship. Verse 25, again he says, take heart, men, or keep up your courage, men, for I believe God that it will be just as he has told me. He even in verse 25 encourages, or verse 33 encourages them to take some food. We'll come back to that in a moment. But the result is, in verse 36, all of them were encouraged. And what we don't see is what they've been through. Over 2 weeks of this terrible, terrible storm at sea and all of them had given up hope and just knew that the ship would wreck and they would lose their lives. And it's amazing to me that Paul, a prisoner, And it kind of tells you about the man that he was and the God that was with him. That people, his fellow prisoners and even the sailors, those in charge, would listen to him. And he, because of that, was able to give them courage. Someone has said, be kind. Everyone you meet is fighting a hard battle. All of us need encouragement. And my prayer is that as we study this chapter together, that we'll see how God gives us courage. We find encouragement from God, but then also how we in turn can help others have courage. We can encourage others. You see, Paul here initially felt the same as everyone else on board. In fact, the angel has to tell him, do not be afraid. And that would indicate to us that Paul was fearful for his life as well as his fellow passengers. But once he received God's encouragement, he passed it on to others. In what ways did God encourage Paul in this journey to Rome in the stormy seas? Let me point out a few with us in Acts 27. Number one, he received, just as we receive, God's encouragement by being with his people. And this comes out several times in the passage and in the context of this journey. First of all, notice with me in verse 2 of Acts 27. So entering a ship of Adramidium, we put to sea, meaning to sail along the coast of Asia. Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, was with us. So here are Paul's companions, Aristarchus and the one that's included in the we. The we and us passages, those plural pronouns. And when you read we and us in the book of Acts, you know Luke, the author, is including himself. So Luke and Aristarchus are with the Apostle Paul on this journey. Aristarchus is mentioned a couple of other times in the scriptures, a few other times. He was one of Paul's traveling companions. He accompanied Paul on his journeys through that region around Ephesus. In Colossians 4 verse 10, he's referred to as Paul's fellow prisoner. So not only a companion in his travels, but even a fellow prisoner. By the way, Sir William Ramsay, in his book, St. Paul the Traveler and the Roman Citizen, argued that in order for Aristarchus and Luke to accompany Paul on this journey, remember he's practically a prisoner who's appealed to Caesar and is intended to be tried before him, that in order for those two men to accompany him, they would have had to pass themselves off as his slaves. But they were willing to do that, if Sir William Ramsay is correct, because they wanted to accompany Paul, and no doubt Paul found encouragement with these men being with him. And that's one way we receive encouragement, is by being with God's people. The journey to Rome began, the ship put into port at Sidon. The centurion allowed Paul, notice with me in verse 3, the next day we landed at Sidon, and Julius, that is the centurion, treated Paul kindly and gave him liberty, notice, to go to his friends and receive care. Usually it's the Apostle Paul, isn't it, that's ministering to his fellow Christians. But he's the one in this situation that is allowed to visit his friends, no doubt fellow Christians, and receive care. And no doubt they encouraged him, prayed for him. And it's just another occasion where God was giving Paul encouragement through his people. And that's the way we receive encouragement, one of the ways, by being with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Number two, Paul received encouragement just as we receive encouragement from God when we remember his presence with us. When we remember that God is always there. It was not the Lord himself, but an angel on this occasion that appeared to Paul to remind him of such. Do not be afraid, for I am with you, was the message. And there were so many occasions throughout Paul's life when the reality of God's presence with him was made even more real to him. There were some times when he was reassured that God was with him at some very crucial points in his life. Let me remind you of a few. There was a time when he was afraid in Corinth, Acts chapter 18. And the Lord appeared to him and promised, reassured him, I am with you. Notice with me, Acts 18. The Lord spoke to Paul in the night by a vision, do not be afraid, but speak and do not keep silent, for I am with you. And no one will attack you to hurt you, for I have many people in this city. To a fearful Paul, don't you know that the assurance that the Lord gave him on this occasion, I am with you, encouraged and strengthened him. When he was in custody in Jerusalem, the Lord stood at his side. Acts 23 verse 11. The Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for as you have testified for me in Jerusalem, so you must also bear witness at Rome. And there's that promise that's made. You're going to bear witness for me at Rome. You're going to go to Rome, Paul. He doesn't know how and what he's going to have to endure at this point. But he's reminding Paul, I am with you. We flash forward to near the end of Paul's life. As he writes to 2 Timothy, it's a very sad tone initially. At my first offense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that the message might be preached fully through me, that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Can you hear Paul's heart, how he's in prison awaiting possible execution? All have deserted me, he says. That is, except for the Lord. The Lord stood with me. You see, at these times of crisis in Paul's life, when perhaps his fears were the greatest, he was reminded over and over of the presence of God. Even if we don't have these visions of Christ or his angels appearing to us, reminding us, we have his promise that he will never leave us nor forsake us. And we can be just as confident as Paul. I shared that Wednesday night several weeks ago about a missionary to Africa by the name of David Livingstone. He received an honorary doctorate at the University of Glasgow. And as he rose to speak, everyone noticed how gaunt and haggard his appearance had gotten. Even his left arm, had been crushed by a lion, and there it was just dangling by his side. And so they could visibly see all that he had endured as he sought to do this work in Africa. And as he spoke on that occasion, he made this statement. Would you like me to tell you what supported me through all the years of exile among a people whose language I could not understand and whose attitude toward me was often uncertain and often hostile? It was this. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. He says, on these words I staked everything, and they never failed. We can have that assurance in the storms of life that God is near. He is present. We can also receive encouragement from God, just as Paul did, when we remember that we are his possession. Notice a statement that he makes in Acts 27, verse 23. There stood by me this night an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve. God sent an angel to me to encourage me and to remind me that he is present. And he says, this God to whom I belong and whom I serve. You see, if you are a Christian, you belong to the Lord. And we can say from Scripture that you are a cherished possession of God. Because if you're a Christian, you were bought at a tremendous price. The price of His Son. And God purchased you with the blood of His Son, and therefore He is not about to abandon you. Paul could have that assurance. This God who made this promise to me, I belong to Him. I am His possession. And he found confidence and encouragement in being reminded of that fact. So can we. We receive God's encouragement just as Paul did when we remember His promises. As we said, as we noted early, Acts 23, he was already told, you must appear before me at Rome. You'll be my witness at Rome. Acts 27, verse 24. The angel's message was, do not be afraid, Paul. You must, notice that word, you must be brought before Caesar. And indeed, God has granted you all those who sail with you. You must. Any question about that? Not at all. Therefore, Paul could encourage his fellow passengers, telling them, no life will be lost among us because God has assured me, He has made this promise that I must be brought before Caesar. When God says you must, you can know it will happen. He is always faithful to His promise. So when He makes this promise, I will never leave you nor forsake you, Hebrews 13, 5. We can know He'll not fail us. When He promises, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. We can know that that is going to happen. We receive encouragement from God when we remember His promises. We receive God's encouragement just as Paul did when we remember that God answers prayer. Notice with me, and this is thrilling to me, in verse 24. There's a word here that's used in the New King James Version that really should jump out at us. Do not be afraid, the angel told Paul. You must be brought before Caesar. And indeed, God has, here's the word, granted you all those who sail with you. God has granted you all those who sail with you. This makes me wonder. If He is granting something, could this not reflect a request that Paul has made? Sure, he was concerned for his own well-being, but also for his companions, Luke and Aristarchus. Could it be that Paul has even prayed for all those on that ship? And here's God's answer. He has granted you all those who sail with you. If that is the case, that teaches us more about Paul. Or it just can really confirm some things. When we're going through a storm, the tendency is for us to become self-absorbed. And we forget about others. But here's Paul. He's in that storm. Initially, he doesn't know if he's going to make it or not. But when he is told by this angel that he will make it, and not only that, that he's granted all those who sail with him, that seems to reflect that he has prayed for those, all those on that ship. And knowing the Apostle Paul as we do in studying about his life, wouldn't you think it was because he was interested in their eternal well-being? One other way we receive God's encouragement is by placing our trust in Him. He tells the others, take heart, keep up your courage, for I believe God that it will be just as it was told me. I believe God. Now remember, the waves are beating against the boat. No doubt the clouds are dark. Neither sun nor moon shone for many days. All the circumstances around them would suggest you're not going to make it. Paul doesn't place his confidence, his trust in his circumstances. He says, I believe God. He may have been having to brace himself as he made this statement because the ship is being tossed about. I believe God that it will be just as it was told me. We receive encouragement by placing our trust not in our circumstances, but in God Himself. That's how Paul was encouraged by God. Here's the part of the lesson that I didn't get to. All that was review for those of you who heard it. What I want us to see now is how Paul in turn encouraged his fellow passengers. Five ways that we can encourage others in the storm. Number one, we can encourage others by being present with them in the storm. Again, Luke and Aristarchus, and perhaps they did have to become Paul's slaves in a sense in order to accompany him, but no doubt their presence with him encouraged him, but also his presence. Again, in thinking about all that happened here and how strangers began to listen to the Apostle Paul and took note of what he said, and whereas that he met some resistance about whether or not they would believe him, they realized he's someone we need to listen to. But he was able to say these things as a fellow passenger, as one who was going through the storm himself. But from his vantage point of the presence of God and his faith in God, he was able to encourage others. We can encourage others in times of storm just by being there for them. There are many other occasions, as I said, in this context, where Paul found so much encouragement from fellow Christians on the ship and off the ship. Let's not neglect this aspect of encouraging others just by being present with them. Secondly, we can encourage others by praying for them. You see, Paul's advice initially had been rejected. Look with me, Acts 27, verse 9. When much time had been spent and sailing was now dangerous because the fast was already over, Paul advised them, saying, "Men, I perceive that this voyage will end with disaster and much loss, not only of the cargo and ship, but also our lives." In other words, we need to get off the ship. We don't need to sail on. That was early on in the journey. But they didn't listen to him on that occasion. Now, some might have said, "Well, if you're not going to listen to me, I'm not going to say anything more." And Paul could have had that attitude when the angel assured him of God's presence. But no, Paul put his own personal feelings aside, and he apparently prayed not only for himself, but all those on the ship. And folks, many of you know this personally. When you're going through a storm, isn't it encouraging to know not only that others are thinking of you, but they're praying for you? I heard an elder in the Lord's church one time say that serving in that capacity was one of the most blessed opportunities that he had. And the reason he gave was this: because he knew there were people praying for him. How many times do we pray, "Lord, bless our elders with wisdom, with good health," as it was prayed this morning? It's encouraging and it's strengthening to know that others are praying for you when you're going through a storm. Thirdly, we can encourage others by practical ministry to their needs. I love this point. The ship is being tossed by the storm. They're wondering, are we going to make it? And even though Paul has told them, we're going to make it, the storm hasn't stopped. And so they're really busy, focused on staying afloat, literally. But notice what Paul does here, verse 33 of Acts 27. As day was about to dawn, Paul implored them all to take food, saying, today is the 14th day you have waited and continued without food and eaten nothing. Therefore, I urge you, take nourishment, for this is for your survival, since not a hair will fall from the head of any of you. This wasn't really a spiritual matter here Paul is addressing. This was a practical, physical matter. They'd gone without eating for 2 weeks. Paul said, you need to eat something. And of course they did. But do you see how that it wasn't long after that? In fact, two verses later, it says, well, Paul paused and he gave thanks for the food and he began eating himself. And the others, when they saw that, they took food for themselves. They ate. And the scripture says they were encouraged. Paul was expressing concern even about their physical needs. And as a result, encouraged them. We can encourage others in the same way. By practical ministry to their needs. Sharing a meal with them as you do so well. Doing errands for them as you do so well. But just thinking about what would I want someone to do for me as you think about their storm and how you can help. We can help in those very practical ways. Number four, we can encourage others by presenting a faithful example. And here's what Paul does so beautifully. He's literally in the same boat, going through the storm with them. He may have even gotten seasick, I don't know. But he's right there with them. He's been discouraged and fearful, but he's received a word from the Lord, and now he has gained confidence and encouragement. And here he is saying, take food, and he gives thanks to God in front of everyone and then begins eating. And he sets that example and encourages others to follow. We can encourage others, just as so many of you have encouraged me and this congregation, by when you're going through a storm in your life, you cling to your faith in God. You stay faithful to Him. And you present a faithful example. And then finally, we can encourage others by telling them of God's greatness and power to save. Again, Paul didn't tell them just to keep a positive outlook. Oh, it'll get better. That's not what he said, was it? And many times we may try to encourage others with those very words. One of our favorite phrases, this too shall pass. And there is some hope and strength in those words. But really the message that Paul is communicating, I believe God, that it will be just as it was told me. His confidence, his faith is not in hoping things will get better. His confidence and his faith is in the fact that he believes God. If we believe God, if we put our trust in Him, doesn't mean that we'll be exempt from the storms of life, does it? But it does mean that ultimately we will get through this storm, even if it's on the other side, and that everything will turn out beautiful for us. If not in this life, then definitely in the next. And that's the message that we need to remember to share with others, to encourage others, reminding them of God's power. He is capable of calming the storm in our lives. But he's primarily concerned about where we're going to spend eternity. He wants us to live eternally with him in heaven. May we find the same encouragement during the storms that we faced, that Paul received during his storm. May we encourage others when they go through the storms in their lives. And I hope and pray that we'll read through Acts 27 and find that encouragement and find ways that we can encourage others. Perhaps you're going through some storm. Perhaps you need the prayers of the church. Perhaps you need to know there are others that love you and that are praying for you. Or perhaps it's come to that point in your study of God's Word that you're ready to obey the gospel, to become a child of God, to take a stand on these promises that He's made. And if that's the case in your life, if you need to respond to in order to obey the gospel tonight, we hope and pray that you'll do so. Won't you come right now as we stand and sing?